They glorified Christ. Why? And so we try and follow up where Brother Burton Brown had left. I hope that this subject that I have chosen will be stimulating and motivating in our hearts and minds, because I hope that the thought that we exchange here this afternoon will prove beneficial in our daily walk with our Lord to His glory, to His glory. We must never forget the truth must be harmonious, it is logical, it is reasonable, and it must make sense. It's not a fairy tale. And so we'll read a few scriptures on this. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him. And then he goes on to say in John, the 7th chapter, in verse 39, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And then we go back to the time of Lazarus' death in John, the 11th chapter, in verse 4. Jesus said this, this sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And then again he says in John, the 13th chapter, and verse 31 and 32, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. John 14, 13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 15, 8. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And in John, the 17th chapter, verses 4 and 5 and 10 and 22 and 24. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou hast lovest me before the foundation of the world. The question is, what is the purpose of our glorified Christ? What will it really mean? What will it really mean? I believe the glorified Christ is a very timely subject because it is a very important part in the plan of God. I believe it is the main theme of the Bible. Why? You would say, why? Because it'll eventually bring out the glory of our Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, to the whole world of mankind. How is this possible? All right. Let's for a moment go back to the very beginning, the very beginning of beginnings. Now, in the beginning, God created the Logos. They planned the stars, the sun, the moon, this so-called earth that we live on, with life on it. Adam and Eve, the first parents, they were given the earthly glory. The word glory eventually, in many of the scriptures, means honor. In this respect here. And then Paul says that there is an earthly glory and there's a heavenly glory. 1 Corinthians 15:40. I like the rendering of the New American Standard on this particular scripture. But then God says that someday I'd like to have a family. And this family will be my joy. They will bring my glory and honor to my name. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to set aside a special age And I will call this the gospel age. And so I will call them, I will choose them, so all will be necessary for them to be faithful to their covenant of sacrifice. All right? In the Old Testament, we are shown two priesthoods. One is a sacrificing one, another is a reigning one. You've heard the Aaronic priesthood, you've heard of Melchizedek priesthood, I'm sure in your studies in the tabernacle especially. Now, the Aaronic priesthood pictures a suffering one of Christ, but shows nothing of the glory and beauty. All right, what about the Melchizedek priesthood? It represents the future of Christ glorified and reigning after the work of sacrifice had been completed and the divine nature fully perfected. All right? What is the threefold work of the completed glorified Christ? He's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. What does a prophet do? He's a teacher. What does a priest do? He's a blesser. What about a king? He rules and reigns and sits on a throne. All right? Let's go to Leviticus, the 9th chapter now, verse 23. What do we see? I believe that this pictures the inauguration into office of the priesthood after their sacrifices have been completed. And so on this occasion, Moses and Aaron came out of the tabernacle. And what happened? What happened here? And he blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, not just to a few, but to all the people. And I believe that when the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, to all the children of Israel, it pictured something. It typified the character of a heavenly Father being manifested to all flesh. The question is when? When? In that day, isn't it? The millennial age, the kingdom age, the restitution day, whatever you want to call it. But it's going to be in the form of his goodness, his love, and his mercy. How is this possible? Let's follow this up a little further. Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts had spoken it. The question is, what glory will be revealed? What is that glory that will be revealed? All right, let's follow this a little further. Next is the 33rd chapter and verses 18 to 23. Moses asked God. He said this, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What happened? And God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back. My face shall not be seen. Now, what parts did Moses see? Moses saw the hinder parts, not the front parts. And I believe it may be a picture of some kind here. To me, I think it pictures that the front parts would only be seen by those in the spiritual realm. The hinder parts would be seen by those in the earthly realm. Moses saw what? Of the hinder part. Moses saw the goodness, he saw the mercy, and he saw the love of God. Can you imagine what the front parts would look like? Our minds cannot comprehend to know while we're still in the earthly flesh. But the church will see it. The church will know. Jeremiah 9, verse 24. But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. The question is why? Why? He says, I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Now Paul picks this up in Romans 8, 18 and 19. He says, Romans 8, 18 and 19, the glory of the Lord will be revealed through his Christ. And this is what he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, Paul was talking about that glory that would be manifested through Christ, through the members of Christ, through the world of mankind. Question is why? Why? Because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of God's goodness, his mercy, and his loving kindness to the world. Brother Bob Grecki brought this scripture in today. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showed his handiwork. We find that Psalmist David was a remarkable lad. You can imagine him sitting in the fields and watching the sheep. And at nighttime, he'd be probably laying there watching the moon and the stars and so on. And so, as the scriptures tell us, that these holy men of God were inspired as he wrote the scriptures that we have before us. And so Psalmist David says, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showed his handiwork. David was looking at it from a literal standpoint, but we know that he was guided by the Holy Spirit of God because he spoke also to us prophetically. And what will it mean? It will mean that Christ, which will declare the glory of God, and the heavens will show his handiwork. How? Let's examine Isaiah 51 and verse 16. Isaiah 51:16. I have put my words in thy mouth and have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Thou art my people. And so God has been planting the heavens during this age now, the gospel age, taking out a people for his name and putting his words in their mouths, in your mouth and mine, that we may lay the foundations of the earth. I believe that's what it means. Now, Psalmist David said in 97:6, he says, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people will see his glory. All the people will see his glory. Now back in the 19th chapter of Psalms in verse 1, the heavens are those that God has taken out during this age. And so he is forming these into a new heavens, which will declare the glory of God to all the world of mankind. And the heavens, or the atmosphere in which they will work, will show his handiwork. Isaiah 26:9. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. When the judgments of God are placed in their hands and manifested to the world of mankind, the inhabitants will learn righteousness, no doubt about it. And so in this respect, I believe that the heavens declare the glory of God, and also they will show forth his handiwork. In Isaiah 43:7, even everyone who is called by my name, for I have created him for what? For my glory. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And so what do we find? During this gospel age, God is taking out a people for his name. He has created them that he might manifest through them his glory, his mercy, his loving kindness to all the people. And now, look what Psalmist David tells us in 19:2, the second verse. Day unto day uttered speech, and night unto night showed knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But here's something that's interesting about this scripture, because Apostle Paul picks it up in Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 18. And Paul says, but I say, But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into ends of the world. Isn't that beautiful? What about this scripture? The present witnessing of the word of God to the ends of the earth is our privilege during this time. How? Through the Frank and Ernest Radio, the Bible Answers TV, magazine ads, whatever way and means that one can do it. But in that day, in the millennial age, the voice of the glorified Christ will go out to all the ends of the earth, and their voice will be heard by every man. As we read in Isaiah 11:9, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And listen what Jeremiah tells us. How many times have you read this? Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Because in a millennial age, in that day, the glory of God of his goodness and his mercy and his loving kindness begins to be manifested forth to all the world. The word of God is going to go through. How? Through that glorified Christ. Through all the earth, and everyone in that day will not have to ask his neighbor or his brother, do you know the Lord? Why? Because he says, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And what will this mean? What will this mean? It'll mean that his goodness and his mercy and his loving kindness of God will be manifested to all the people of the earth, that they might be able to walk up the highway of holiness back to perfection. Back to perfection. And so the glorified Christ, the heavens that manifest the glory of God, are going to speak the words that God during this age has put in your mouth and mine. In Exodus, the 25th chapter, verses 8 and 9, reads this way. This scripture was recited to us earlier, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I shall show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and a pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Now, did you realize that John picks this up in Revelation? And this is a scripture found in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, where John was taken to see that holy city. And this is what John saw, and this is what he said. He says, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adored for her husband. And he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. And then he tells us that there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more death. He says, for the former things are passed away, and behold, I make all things new. Why? Why did he say this? Because he was pointing way back to the time of that tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses was showing on the mount. And so in Revelation, John was showing the antitypical fulfillment of that tabernacle way back there that he was going to make during this gospel age now, Jesus Christ and his church, the city of God, the New Jerusalem. And in Hebrews 8, verses 1 and 2, Paul picks this up again. He says, now the things which you have spoken, this is the sum, what Brother Britton Brown mentioned. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not men. And in Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, he says. That is to say, not of this building. And so our Lord has been building a tabernacle without hands, by the power of God, that he might dwell through this great priesthood in manifesting his glory, manifesting his goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness to all the families of the earth. And in Revelation 21, verses 10 and 11, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What did it have? Having the glory of God. What is the glory of God? His goodness, His mercy, and His loving kindness. And then verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the lamp is the light thereof. Now, the glorified Christ, His church, this beautiful city, will be the light of the whole world. The question is why? Again, because it's through this light the world will see the manifest glory of God, His goodness, His mercy, His loving kindness towards them. And then Psalmist David tells us in the 7th verse of the 19th chapter, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. God's law written in the hearts of men. And then we know that the glory of God shall be revealed. How? Through the glorified Christ. And so Psalmist David tells us in 102 Psalms, verses 15 to 19, so the heathen or the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, or reverence the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Why? Because our heavenly Father shall appear through the glorified Christ in his glory, in his goodness and mercy, his loving kindness towards mankind, because it says he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And so we find that this shall be written for the generation to come. Think of the happiness and the joy that shall be the world's when they realize the goodness and the mercy and the loving kindness of God towards them. And the 19th verse says, for he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. This sanctuary is the sanctuary he has been building during this gospel age now, that he might dwell through this sanctuary, through his glorified Christ, in blessing all the people of the world. And then Psalms 145, verses 10 and 11. All thy works shall praise thee, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power. They shall speak of the glory of God's kingdom. Revelation 21:4 is where we go back again where we were. And then Psalmist David continues in 104, verses 28 through 33. We'll just pick a few scriptures. Verse 30. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. King James says created, but the word should be recreated. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are recreated, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Thy glory, the Lord, shall endure forever. When that goodness and mercy and truth which the Lord is going to manifest through that glorified Christ, the light of the world will be greater in respect of the light of the sun or the moon, as the scriptures tell us. Therefore, it will bring about the goodness, the mercy, his loving kindness, and his glory shall endure forever. What will a glorified Christ mean? To restore God's relationship with man as it was way back in the Garden of Eden with Father Adam. This is what the glorified Christ means to me, and I'm sure it means to you. And so verse 33 tells us, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. May the Lord add his blessing.